But nobody has been able to move the ball on this football team. It's fantastic what they've built over there.
You better evolve or you get dissolved.
Every day, I couldn't wait to get to work, bro. I couldn't wait.
And what we are seeing right now in the NFL is the defensive stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up. Stand up.
I'm more concerned with the 49ers because of the injury.
They go up against a team that's got all the schemes, the 49ers. They got all, they got the tricks. But they say, you know what? Man on man, we think we can beat you.
I think those two teams would do a loss. They're going to lose those kind of games. Like every once in a while, you're undefeated, you get a wobble, boom, somebody catches you slipping.
That's what he said. Hey, they never brought that back up though.
Finished.
They never brought that back up.
That was funny, bro.
That never made another rerun. Hello. Hello, everyone. That was pregame warm-up to the Jason and OC podcast. Mm. What's up, everyone? We are back. We are in the chairs. Mm. We're feeling good. Hold on. Why I got this Bucks jersey behind me?
Yeah, that's
gotta go.
That's Mike, though. That's Mike Evans.
Oh, he's a baller.
Yeah, he's okay. We can leave Mike up
there. Yeah, he is nice.
Who's in mine? I don't even have one.
He is nice.
They don't care nothing about
me. No,
they give you a guy who's got like 10,000.
Everyone has zero to do with us personally.
Yeah. But I got the Lions.
Cool. That's a big game this week.
Yeah.
Good team.
Mm.
I mean, decent teams on my side.
Yeah, not bad at all.
No, I mean, I'm good. I kind of like what they're doing. Yeah. I like how they're playing.
They're taking care of you.
Yeah. I mean, so you got Miami. You got Detroit.
I got helmets. Yep.
Two of the top teams probably playing in the NFL right now, right? Mm-hmm. Performance-wise.
Upstarts, too.
Upstarts. I got the Bucks.
They're a good team.
Loss coming off a loss, but all right.
They're all right.
And I got the Rams.
Yeah.
You know,
okay team.
Okay. I like the way McVay's doing things this year, too. Mm. I feel like this might be one of his coaching masterpieces.
Why?
He was up against the wall about what this franchise was going to be this year, right? Mm-hmm. The lack of talent, resources, whatever. So I feel like he's taken that and he's like, I'm going to show you what kind of play caller I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, Puka Nacua comes in and when Cooper Kupp is out and just looks like the best receiver in football.
Mm.
I mean, he's just the volume of targets he's getting is Sean McVay. So, you know, he's creating a dynasty of some sorts of being a play caller's dynasty. He's up there.
But we play to win the game.
So he can't get
hello. Herm Edwards. We play
hello.
To win the game. They ain't winning, man.
They ain't winning. I mean, they are competing, man. They are getting I'm trying to make sense.
Where are we right now? Are you giving out consolation prizes?
Yes, because
they're playing hard.
Because
we play to win the game.
The helmet's behind me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make sense.
No.
You don't even give me that.
No.
Okay.
Super Bowl winning coach.
Okay.
I can see if they were like 5-1 or 4-1 right now. I'd
right.
be like, okay, no, they're 2-3, what are they, losing games?
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
He gets no credit for that.
Shout out
to Sean McVay.
Yeah,
with all due respect.
I still think I like what's happening. I also like what's happening in your chair.
Okay.
Shout out to Lazy Boy.
Mm.
Our lovely sponsor. We really do like these chairs.
They're incredible.
We're still waiting for one thing to be delivered to OC's house.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to harass anybody on that.
No, we're going to keep saying
it. We'll just keep saying it.
We're going to find out how many of them are listening to us promo their product.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's
how we find out.
If you're listening, please.
If another week goes by,
uh-huh.
right, and I don't have one of these, then I know they're not listening.
Oh.
And they're not, you know,
pressure.
No, it's the truth. I know they're not listening.
Oh, that's pressure.
How are we giving them all this promo?
I know.
And to our millions of listeners.
And you know what, listeners? Millions of you.
Millions.
www.la-z-boy.
Pretty good.
.co.uk. And let them know to send OC's chair.
Send me my chair, man. Send me my chair.
Send the chair.
You know what I was thinking this morning?
Tell me more while I have a sip of this tea.
Yeah. I don't want to be a... You know, what we like to call a Debbie Downer here, mm-hmm. right?
There are those people.
Yeah. But I was thinking about something. You know, when you see all of these situations that are going on in terms of, like war.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, mm-hmm. what's going on with Israel and Palestine. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, right now, as we're here, having these conversations, talking,
yep.
you know, we go to bed with not even a thought of, like, real danger,
yes,
right?
Right.
I was thinking to myself, there are people right now who are in fear for their life. Like, as we're talking right now, just this, as we're having this conversation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
This very second.
Yes.
People are being bombed, being shot at, like, in real danger.
All around the world.
And it's almost like sometimes when you see these things, we've almost become, in some form or fashion, desensitized to it. Because you hear, oh, this happened here, this happened here. And, you know, be like, oh, wow, that's sad. And then, you know, we go on about our business. But I just try to put myself in the mind of somebody who is actually going through that as we speak right now. Because somebody, there are a bunch of people around the world right now who are in war.
Yes.
You know, and we're here and we're relatively safe. And I just wanted to give like a thought, at least, to those people who are going through just a ridiculous circumstance right now.
You know, we talk about this stuff often, especially in the off season. Mm. We spend a lot of time discussing current world events. And you're right. It's funny you say this, man, because as I was on the tube over here and I was sitting there, and I, you know, reading news this morning, just catching up on everything, I felt guilty.
Yeah.
And the reason I felt guilty was I saw people upset that the tube was late.
Yeah.
And I saw like some people's reaction and how they were dealing with it. And I thought, this is what we're worried about.
Yeah.
You know, this is it. Like, this is causing you so much grief. And you need to remind yourself what real pain is, what real grief is. And though I will never understand that, I've never lived in it, I've never seen it, but I need to make sure that I'm aware what's happening and I'm discussing it.
Yeah.
Within my group of friends, family. Talking to my daughter the other day, she gets a Kids News Week magazine and is talking about what's going on. And I'm just listening, answering the questions I can, making sure that she understands what's happening in the world. And that because we are in this bubble of safety right now, you know, there's things that happen everywhere in the world, but right now, you know, I'm not worried about those circumstances, but they still need to be discussed.
Mm.
I mean, we're human beings, right? All of us.
Yeah.
And the only way anything will get solved, especially peace, is if there are open discussions and no one just acts like it's, you know, things aren't occurring.
Yeah.
Because you're right.
Yeah.
You're really right. It's funny because we talk about practice.
Mm-hmm.
And remember we used to always say, it didn't matter what was going on in your life, in the world, you would go to practice. And for that hour and a half, 2 hours, it was like meditation, right?
Yeah.
It was, as soon as you left, it started up again.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were out there, why do you think that happens?
I think that, and first of all, I want to say that if there's one thing that I would want most people or everybody to experience is that sanctuary that's like the locker room and
I just you should
experience it. There's really nothing quite like it. No matter what was going on, no matter what would happen to you outside, no matter what was going on, your wife could be, you know, you could be having problems with your wife, with your family,
everything.
With anything, right? And you would come in there. And for however many hours you are in there, all those problems just disappear.
Man.
And then it's just a complete focus on your friends, your homies, the game, what's going on there.
So right.
And then as soon as you get in your car to drive out, the minute you leave the facility,
you hit the wall of the world.
Yeah, you're like, oh my
all
God.
All of it hits you.
I want to go back.
Hey, I remember you were a guy in and out the locker room.
Yeah.
Because you were there earlier than everybody.
Yeah.
The sauna was the confession.
Mm-hmm.
Being there talking about life. And I remember one time talking in there with our linebacker buddies, AP and Los.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a conversation, talking about stuff. And we end up leaving very late. But these dudes, I'm driving out later. They won't leave the parking lot. You know how you get out of the facility to get on the freeway?
Yeah.
They're pulled over on the side.
Just talking.
Talking through the window. Yeah. Because you're right. As soon as you leave there, it's over. The wall hits you. They didn't want to give it up.
It's
and
crazy.
I remember that. I was thinking, man, this is really important that we have each other to talk to and deal with stuff.
There was a time period when I was in New York, I would say from 2005 to 2008, maybe, when I got injured. And then again, from 2010 to 2012,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's like 5 years total, right? Where every single day, every day, I couldn't wait to get to work. I couldn't wait.
Why? Just from what was going on outside?
Inside.
Okay.
We had lunatics
in
the building.
Oh, yeah.
It had gotten to the point where we were, like, the players were so good, uh-huh. right, that we were in control of the building. Right?
Y'all were.
In complete control.
Yeah.
So we would go in. We would go into our defensive line room. They closed the door. And bro, chaos. We had like a fine board, uh-huh. you know what I mean? And then somebody would be standing by the door and they'd be waiting for you to see if you were late. If you were 5 seconds late, they'd close the door and they'd be holding it. And you'd be out there banging because you know Tom Coughlin was roaming the highway.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to catch you.
Out there banging, right? They'd write you down for a fine. You do something, you loaf in practice, which means you're not trying as hard.
Oh, the loaf.
They would put you on trial. We'd have a trial, J-Bell. And so they put the tape
for
on.
For loafing?
For loafing, bro. They put the tape on. I was the defense lawyer. We had a prosecutor. The D-line coach and he'd wear his glasses. And he'd sit there, he'd put his glasses over you like a real judge. We were doing this.
Well, y'all watch the film. So loafing is jogging to the
jogging
ball.
Jogging when everybody else was
when
sprinting.
When everybody's
running. Yes.
You would look at the film. And you guys are just...
And I was sitting over there, I'll be defending the guy who was loafing. Then, like, if you didn't get, like, a sack or if there's, like, a shared sack, we were in trial. So everybody else was actually working, and we were just sitting in there goofing off. And it was... I wish I could... imagine going to work every day like that.
That's why I love the D-line.
Oh, it was so cool.
I love y'all. You know, Strahan had to be my attorney on the sideline one time.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to pay the money for the DB night.
Okay.
So we have position group nights, and everybody gathers their money together to pay for it, right? So, and it's from the fines and whatever. So this is before, like, all the apps where you can transfer money. You had to go to the bank and get cash, right? So Frank Walker's doing it. He's like, organizing it, him and C. Webb.
Yeah.
The invites come, and there's not one in front of my locker, OC. So I'm like, yo, where's my invite? Mm. What's the deal? They're like, J. Bell, you didn't pay none of your fines.
Wow.
So you can't come to the DB thing. I am hurt.
Yeah.
I am disturbed. This is a Saturday walkthrough practice. Like,
man.
We got a game, and I'm worried about this. So I said, no, this isn't right. I said, Stray, you got to help me. Because Stray and you were the only ones invited.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
but, so,
I remember.
Cool. So Stray comes home and goes, all right, I got you. So we in walkthrough.
Mm.
And when the defense is off to the side, Stray's talking to the DBs,
trying to let
coming
you.
Back to my side, and he's negotiating the terms of the deal at practice. During walkthrough. So at the end, he goes, J. Bell, I know it's Saturday, but you better go get that money.
Yeah.
You better have that money when we get. I think it was a home game. We flying out. I don't know. We had to have the money.
Mm.
I'm like, I can't get it. He said, I've done my best.
So I've done all I can do.
I was like, I don't know if I got that much cash at home. I think somebody had to loan me the money and I got it to him on Monday or something, but end up paying it, made the DB night. So I know you, I know how you defensive linemen are.
It was cool.
I appreciate all that.
Cool times.
Yeah. You know what's interesting in the league right now? It's kind of like life, right? Everybody likes the flashy stuff. Everybody wants to see it, the little shiny things, right? They're attracted to all these little things they see, especially with social media. It's like, ah, everybody's living like this or whatever. Like, everybody's drawn into all that. But what makes people successful are usually core principles, you know, hard work, da-da-da, all the other stuff, right? And when you look at the game we love, it emulates life. And the same things that work in life work on the field, right? In the NFL, it's the things that aren't shiny. It's the things that don't get a lot of credit. It's the big guys up front pushing each other back and forward, you know, who dominates up there. And it's, can you stop people from scoring? Can you play defense? Can you do the mundane over and over again? Because if you're playing defense and you have a responsibility and nobody sees that responsibility, you could be the best at that, right? You are a run defender and you take up two running lanes, right? They call them a two gapper, right? Nobody talks about you. But if there's a big run, you made a mistake, right? One play. And what we are seeing right now in the NFL and this week is the defensive stand up.
They definitely stood up. You know,
I don't know why I said that.
No, it's pretty good. I like it.
You know, what's that song? Stand up.
Ludacris.
Ludacris. Yeah. That's when he had the big fist. That's how I was feeling.
Ludacris, stand up.
That's how he had a big foot. That's how I was feeling.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know what I mean?
Good, yeah.
I went back. I don't know.
No, you showed your age. There's nothing wrong with
this. I felt that.
No, there's nothing wrong with
this. Thank you. I needed it. You know where I was going.
Yeah, no, I knew exactly where you were going. I mean,
thank you.
You're almost 60, so that's a song. It's a song you should know. You start rapping, Rapper's Delight, a hip, a hop, a hip.
You know what I was playing the other day?
What's
some old school LL Cool J.
Of course you were.
Like, who do you love? I is now with you. Ah, you bitch. And I was feeling it. I was like, bruh, come on.
Takes you back.
Oh my God.
Hey, this happens to you, I'm quite sure. Like,
probably.
When you hear a song
and
it takes you immediately back to where you were when right that came out. Isn't that crazy?
That's when you said I'm old. I felt you because that's exactly what happens.
It'll take you
back. Right then and there.
Yeah.
Especially when it takes you back to like high school.
Yeah.
Oh man. I remember like old school Outkast. I can see myself stretching on on the grass before the game.
You know what song? It's a song by Alicia Keys, right? And it's called Try Sleeping with a Broken Heart, right? And that's the name of this song. And we had played against the Denver Broncos in 2009, and I played like my worst game ever, like ever.
Why am I laughing?
I know.
It's not even funny.
Ever. Ever, ever,
you never played bad.
Horrible. Hey, I got dominated, right?
Oh, jeez.
So the team wasn't winning, right? So they needed a scapegoat.
Oh.
So 2009, Denver. And then, you know, Coughlin calls me into the office. There's like two games left in the season. He's like, you know, we're going to go with another player. We're going to sit you down, blah, 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 blah. And I remember getting in my car and that was the song.
Oh no, it hit you.
The song that was played. And so every single time I hear that song.
You got to turn it off.
No, I don't even tear it. I let the emotion wash over me. I liked it. I let the emotion wash over me, J-Bell.
It just...
Every single time. And I go right back there. Right back there. Because I was so hurt, bro. So hurt. And then the next season, I had one of the best seasons ever for a defensive end in history, J-Bell.
So that song actually...
I feel both.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
That was the beginning of a new part of your chapter.
It's cool. But we were talking about defense.
We were talking about
defense.
Yes.
So...
We find a way.
Yeah, I know. So I think just like you alluded to earlier, football is basically a microcosm of life. The same thing that happens on the field.
So true.
Happens in life.
Agreed.
So, and I know I always say this, human nature doesn't necessarily change. Like a lot of things happen, a lot of things change around us.
Our behavior.
It's pretty much the same.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with football.
Yeah.
No matter what you come up with, for some reason, you can come up with all the flash, all the pizzazz, the razzle dazzle. But the game itself, right, is predicated on a pure physical, primal instinct. So no matter what you do, at the end of the day, because the game's nature is this, it's always going to come back to that. Regardless of what you can sit there, you can come up with all your little schemes. But if these guys can physically match up and physically beat you up, they're going to win the game 9 times out of 10. And that's what's happening in defense now.
You just said the key word of it all. If you can physically match up. Because at this point in the year, when you have this information, it's kind of like a family member knowing all your tricks, right? You don't get away with nothing in your house, do you? All your stuff,
they know.
They got you. But somewhere else, you could.
Yes.
They haven't figured you out yet. Now, at this point of the year, we're starting to figure you out. We're starting to see what you do. But who are you at your core? And can we match up against that? And can we dominate that some way? And you're seeing that. I mean, when you talk about the Browns, we were saying this defense was, you talked about Myles Garrett legit, before the season. Yeah. We knew this defense was legit. They go up against a team that's got all the schemes, the 49ers. They got the tricks. But they say, you know what? Man on man, we think we can beat you.
Yeah.
And when you play man-to-man defense in the NFL, it allows you to do a couple of things. It allows you to take another defender, put them at the line of scrimmage to say, you're not going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. So now you got to be better than us on the outside. You got to be more athletic, tougher, more physical to beat us one-on-one, right? Because that's what it comes down to. And if you can't, all that trickeration, as you say, it means nothing. But it takes time to figure out what you are, your tendencies, and this is the time of the season where that starts to shine. You can adjust off of this,
yeah.
Just like you can adjust in life. Hey, all right, you figured me out. But can I evolve? Can I become someone else? Can I stay 2 steps ahead? Mm. They say that in everybody's career, right? You better evolve or you get dissolved.
Yeah.
That made sense, didn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Evolved or get dissolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're really good at that, by the way.
It came from nowhere.
It just rolls out, yeah.
I didn't even know if it made sense.
Yeah,
but then I looked at you and you didn't have you that dissolved. It doesn't make since twinkle,
it makes perfect
so
sense.
I knew.
Exactly.
Boom. Thank you, brother.
The Cleveland Browns have given up, I think it's 1,000 yards of total offense in 5 games.
Mind blown.
Right?
That's crazy.
So they're giving up 200 yards of offense a game. And the funny thing about the scheme that they're running, that Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, came with, right, is that it is a extremely simple. It's not complex, not a bunch of blitzing, not a bunch of anything, right?
Just dogs.
They have better play. They got just dogs. Have dogs, right? And he's putting these people in position to play fast, loose, and he just doesn't think that no matter what you're running, at the end of the day, you're still going to have to contend with these players that they have.
Yeah.
Like you can, I'm going to run this scheme. Is okay, but how are you going to block Miles? Like, what are you going to do there?
How are you going to?
Yeah.
And by putting 5 at the line of scrimmage, forces you into a
one-on-one situation, right? And then you look at our corners. We got good corners. We got good
great
DBs.
Corners, yeah.
Okay. So what are you going to do?
What scheme
are you going to run?
How are you going to beat them?
Yeah. How are you going to beat them?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is what he has put the game in his players' hands. And so when you look at a team that's given up 200 yards, the only game that they got blown out was Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
They got beat 28-3.
Yeah.
But it was because Baltimore still had under 300 yards of offense, right?
Yes.
It's because, the offense threw a bunch of interceptions. They were working with short fields before game's over, right?
Exactly.
But nobody has been able to move the ball on this football team. It's
fact.
Fantastic what they've built over there.
Isn't it amazing that we talk about the complexity of this game, but yet, like in everything in life, you can be simple when you have crafted the necessary technical skills.
It's the nature part, J-Bell.
It's like you can do the same thing. You know, like a boxer in a fight, you know I'm coming forward. You just can't stop it.
Can't do anything with it. Was there a secret to what Mike Tyson was doing?
Head movement. He was hunting you down, moving his head, and you couldn't do nothing about it.
Them blows was coming. You can't do nothing.
You watching the tape. Well, this is what he does here. And then he hits you one in punches, and you feel it, and you don't have nothing for it.
No answer.
Just, I'm going down. I'm going on a knee.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that we get to this point, and we see it, and we talk about the teams that are going to be in the Final Four, and we talk about, oh, they're simple, or they do this. There's a reason they are.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I didn't think the Jets were going to beat the Philly, but they do.
Yeah.
Because they forced them into throwing the ball. They said, you are not going to run. We're going to force you. We won't let you be balanced. Because when you're not balanced, you just can't do that one thing or consistently. I would have never guessed that. But we knew this defense was good.
We knew about the Jets defense.
And they're showing up, stopping the run. I mean, we were talking about Zach Wilson a couple weeks ago, man. And now you're like, well, hold up.
Yeah, they're still not going anywhere, but.
You're going to unhope my conversation?
They're still not going anywhere. Come on.
But they beat an undefeated team.
Yeah, but they're still not going anywhere.
But you didn't think they were going
undefeated anyways. They don't pass the smell test.
No. But
they don't pass the smell test.
You think Philly bounces back from this in a way?
They will.
Yeah. You think they fix and correct?
They will. I'm more concerned with the 49ers because of the injuries.
Fact.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
I'm more concerned about that.
Let's talk about that.
They lose their left tackle. Right. He leaves the game in a boots.
Yep.
Problem.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
McCaffrey.
Yep.
Problem. Deebo Samuel's the X factor. All these guys are injured. They're going to have problems right now, right?
Yeah.
And now all that stuff I said about Brock Purdy last week, now we're going to see.
Hey.
Now we're going to see.
And I didn't bring his name up
for
the panic button, Brock Purdy, the quarterback of San Francisco 49ers, because he let him down to score.
Yes.
They missed
the field goal.
If they make the field goal, we go, whoa, Brock pulled it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got to give him a pass.
On top of that, we're not talking about a regular defense that he just faced, right?
Best in the league.
Best in the league. Best defense in the league.
Best.
So to expect him to go and shred that football team, nobody's done it. Nobody's going to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So that's not going to happen. And then to do that with your weapons being out early,
it was
going to be a fight for him, for sure.
Has there ever been a point in your life where you felt like somebody just had you. They had you figured out. Like, you couldn't, whether it was an intellectual conversation or on the field with your wife, was it just something where you're like, they got me figured out?
Yeah. On the field, it's happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah?
Happened to me a couple of times. Happened to me in Seattle against a guy by the name of Walter Jones the second time I played him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he remembered the first.
Oh, he remembered the first. So the second time, you know, we go there, we're playing against him. And he had me in the witness protection program. The quarterback
when
was
here.
When
you in the witness protection program, that's a bad game.
I was nowhere to be found. I left the game, and it's only two times this has happened to me, Jay Bell. I left the game, and I said to myself, I got my ass kicked today.
Was it away or home?
No, it was away. It was in Seattle.
Oh, you had to get on a plane.
I got on the plane.
Oh, that's the worst
feeling. But it was the type of, you know, ass kicking, right?
Yeah.
That you don't even watch the film. You don't even watch anything. You're like,
I'm not going to repeat that. I don't need to.
This didn't happen because if you watch something like that, you're like, I'm just not a good player. Right? That's what you start thinking to yourself. So I got on. I wasn't like usually in a situation like that, you'd be mad.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad. I was like, this guy, I was so thoroughly defeated, right? There was no sliver of hope. There was not even a sliver. I said, you know what? He got me. I'm just, you know, I got on the plane like nothing happened. Hey. It's like, ah, cool. No problem.
How do you,
when
stuff like that happens and you got to get on a plane, on a bus, you don't want no eye contact.
No. But here's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, you didn't even.
It was so complete that I didn't even care.
You didn't even. Nobody could say nothing to you. Oh, you were.
I didn't even acknowledge.
Oh, it's like.
That what.
I passed that.
This didn't happen.
Did it help?
I was like, he got me.
Did it help you bounce back?
I mean, it was in 2010, so it was in midst of like one of my best years ever. Yeah. Right?
It was just a blip.
Yeah, it's just okay, cool.
It's a down day in the market. Yeah, don't panic and pull your money out. No, it's a down day.
Diamond
in the stock
hands. You know what they call it? Diamond hands. That's what I did. Diamond hands. My career. That's what I did.
I say that because Kyle Shanahan and Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for the Browns, Kyle can't beat him.
Really?
Kyle cannot beat him. I think he's 1-9.
Wow.
I could be talking crazy. I don't have the stat in front of me.
That is an interesting nuggets.
He cannot beat him. He gives him problems. He's actually, his defensive line coach comes from the same tree. Mm-hmm. You know how all these coordinators, when they struggle with a defense, they try to hire somebody who runs it.
Yes.
So you practice against it every week, right? To get ready for it when you have that opponent. I say that because they always talk about how coaches coach against coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They go, hey, what does he do? You know, it's that chess match. And then players eliminate all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have the right design, doesn't matter. OC just manhandled your tackle, or your tackle manhandled OC. Mm. Only happened one time. And he's forgot about
twice.
It. Twice. But it I didn't twice. Bring it up. Yeah. I only talk about the one time that you put on the confession tape.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you moved on.
Yeah.
So players eliminate that. But I'm thinking, man, I saw a picture, man. You know, head coach Kyle Shanahan, he just was shaking his head. 8-1. Mm. He's 8-1 against them.
Wow. That's interesting.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's good producing, too. You got
really good.
We got the little flash in the back that told us that I had messed up.
Yeah.
Now I get to correct it.
Good.
So it seems
like. But you were off by only one. So.
It was close. If it would have been really off, I just wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
I'd have had them edit it out, and then I'd have put it back in.
Mm.
But because I was close,
mm-hmm.
you know, I confirmed
good.
It
good to
live.
Go. Yep.
Okay, cool. I say all this because can a coach be in a coach's head like that? Can he just have him?
Yes. I think that's. You know, and this is another thing that I don't think people truly understand about the game of football,
mm-hmm.
right? You see a team, two teams playing against each other, right? But I don't think they truly understand that the offensive coordinator is playing against the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
They're playing against each other.
Straight up.
So they're
video
like,
game.
Yeah, it's the same thing. They're like, oh, okay, I'm going to run this. And then they see how we adjust. Like, okay, we're going to run this. And then they're going back and forth against each other.
Period.
It's a beautiful thing, a beautiful game.
It's
right?
The art of it.
Yeah, yeah. So can one guy be, you have schemes.
Yeah.
This scheme that this person is running just so happens to give this scheme problems. Now, everybody can't run the same schemes because
no.
they don't understand the intricate details.
Don't have the same players.
Yeah, so somebody now is not going to watch what Cleveland did and say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to run the exact same. You don't know what, you don't really know what he's doing.
You don't have Miles Garrett.
You don't have
and you don't have those corners.
Yeah. But then again, the fact that he's 8-1 against him, he hasn't always had Miles Garrett. He hasn't always had those corners.
Another great point.
Right?
Great
so
point.
So it can't be just the players that he has that is doing this. The scheme that he's running is a direct matchup problem
yep.
for what Kyle Shanahan does.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand what he's doing to know, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, you're very, very true. And just like, you know, you love boxing.
Hmm.
You like to box everybody. You like to show them your reach.
When I was young, not anymore.
I mean, for fun,
yeah,
you know.
For fun.
You know, and it's like if you were boxing a little guy that was fast and you used your reach, he probably wouldn't get close to you.
Yeah.
Styles.
Yeah.
But if you boxed a tall guy that was fast with long arms, might be interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna
you know
be
what
cool.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Yeah.
I think you still.
I think it'll be good. Did you know my dad called me Balboa? Did you know that?
No.
He called me that. That was my name since
really?
I was like 2 years old. Rocky Balboa.
Because when you was young, you was in them scrabbles.
I just used to go around punching people.
When did it stop?
I don't really remember when it stopped, but I just used to go around punching people. So he used to call me Balboa. But the thing was, like my dad was so, he's like a king, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so,
he's not like a king.
He's a king. So I'll go around punching people and they couldn't do anything back. They couldn't do anything.
They just had to take
They just had to eat that.
Hey.
Because I was his.
You
I was
like
his
them kids in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I was his fave. There was no.
He used to carry you around, right?
Yeah, he didn't play around with me, right? So I would go around just punching people, and nobody could do anything.
It.
Yeah. So he nicknamed me Balboa. He called me that till the day, you know, God rest his soul, he passed. That was my name. Bow boy. That's what he'd say. Bow boy.
Nobody could cool. punch
no,
back.
No, no, no. You weren't allowed.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, when I was growing up, I was allergic to, like, cotton on my skin.
Really?
Yeah, when I was growing up. So all my clothes had to be silk.
I'm done with you. I need to talk to your brother.
I'm not making this
I
up.
I need to talk to your
I'm
brother.
I'm not making any of this
I
up.
I need to talk
my
to
clothes
your brother.
Had to be
this
silk.
This is the problem with this stuff.
Cheap bell.
All your clothes are silk.
Silk. When I was growing up, imagine. And I was going around
punching people with silk on. I can't.
True story.
I know it is.
I'm not making this up.
I know you're not.
Balboa in the silk clothes.
Balboa in silk clothes. Silk. Punching people.
All my clothes had to be silk. You better not put cotton on me. My dad teach you a lesson.
Off with his head.
Immediately, get him out of here. You put cotton on my son?
On my son? You see his skin? You see that? All your...
Silk.
What about your brothers and sisters?
None of them had that problem. Just me.
So you're the only one that had silk?
Silk.
Oh my
silk clothes.
God.
They used to carry me.
I can't even finish the podcast.
True story.
I can't even finish this podcast.
Yeah.
I can't even.
All that happened. I have so many crazy stories, bro.
I love them.
Believe it.
I think we need to revisit a couple of them. I think next time, it's been long enough and we probably have a lot of new listeners.
You bring the stories back.
I want to bring back, and I'll just throw it out there. Mm. When the drivers used to go at it.
Oh.
don't give it away. I just want to talk about it because we all love traffic.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I had
an
altercation the other day.
Yeah.
You like this. So I got my daughter in the car. I got my mom in the car.
Oh, wow.
I'm tripping. Coming from school, pull out. And you know how you have to wait and they have the little crossing things like you don't put your car out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that needs to be open so somebody can turn in. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called. They look, you know, but that's what they are. And a guy is in a rush. He jumps out in the wrong lane, blocks traffic to get in front of me because I'm stopped because there's a little barrier and can't get in there.
Yeah.
So he's blocking traffic.
Mm.
Then I'm like.
But you have your daughter and your mom in the car?
And I got time. So I'm like, ooh, he's tripping, whatever. And then he pulls up in front of me, cuts me off. And then the light changes. So he does all that, blocks it for everybody. Nothing, no progress.
Mm.
So I roll down my window, put my hands out, and I put my head out, and I start clapping. And I go, congratulations. Congratulations. He pops out. He goes, what'd you say? I said, congratulations. You did all that in front of everybody, and you got right there.
Yeah.
Good job. You should be proud of yourself. And he goes, he looks at me, and he hears the accent. He goes, this guy, he must have thought he's crazy. He goes, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And he gets back in his car. Then he gets back, close the door, and I'm just sitting there. And Anaya, my daughter in the back, goes, really, Daddy? I said, I'm sorry. So,
yeah.
Your story needs to be told next week.
We will next week. We'll get it next week.
I got one thing, man. I was gonna ask you this, but you already killed it. It was a great thought.
Mm.
I thought the Jets might be a dark horse for the playoffs, but you poo-pooed it.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Not even.
Well, I think
you don't like that performance.
No, the performance was outstanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think those two teams would do a loss. They're going to lose those kind of games.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while, you're undefeated. You get a wobble, boom, somebody catches you slipping.
Yep.
It's usually the game you don't think that they're going to lose.
No.
Right.
Yep.
That's usually when they slip up. So I'm not sure if that is just a magnificent performance by the Jets. I'm not ready to crown them yet.
Yeah.
You know, if this was a Philly team that was say 8-2,
right,
or 9-1, and then the Jets beat them, gave them that loss, I'd be like, okay, I'd be a little bit more.
I don't know
if you understand. They had to lose,
you
right?
Knew they and were it's usually one of these games.
San Fran too,
yeah. You
but it's
knew
usually
it.
One of those type of games that they usually people catch them slipping on.
Yeah.
So I got to see more from the Jets before I crown them.
Yeah, I have one thing we totally agree with: defenses win championships,
yeah,
especially this year. Let's keep talking about the D. And in your life, always know you can get better. Mm. And if you have a bad game, if you have a bad day, be like OC and just move on. It never happened.
Never happened.
It never happened. Mm-hmm. Look everybody in the eye like, what are you talking about?
No.
Wasn't even there.
Mm-mm. That wasn't me.
It's best year of your
year. That was somebody else. Somebody else did that. It's not me.
And it's all right to have silk clothes your entire life. Holla at you next time.
True story. Huh?
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Silk pajamas, silk everything.